series on spiritual warfare. And as we come to this message this evening, I got to ask you a question, okay? So here we go. How has the battle been lately? How has the battle been lately? Let me ask you a question. Again, have you noticed any strange things happening in your life? Just a couple difficulties that kind of popped up out of nowhere. You just wasn't expecting, you know, those kind of things, uncertainties of life. Look, they're going to happen. If they haven't yet, well, just hang on, hang tight. They will, all right? But that's why it's so important for us as we walk with God to stay in our Bibles and stay in prayer, especially as we study this series on spiritual warfare. Because I want you to know something. Our enemy does not like to be exposed, okay? And that's what we've begun doing even this past Sunday, is exposing him, exposing his wiles, his trickery, okay? And that's what we're going to dive into again, even this evening. All right, so let's look at it. Look at it this evening. Ephesians chapter number 6, and look at verse number 10 again. The Bible says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Against the wiles of the devil. Now remember, the word wiles here is a word methodia. It's where we get our word method from, okay? It's the tactics, it's the cunning craftiness of our enemy, the devil, that he uses against you and he uses against me, that he uses against believers, he uses against Christians, he uses against the church. These wiles, these cunning craftiness, his crafts, all right? And he does these things, these wiles, uses them in order to get us as believers to quit in the warfare, to give up, to give in, to be ineffective in the fight, to be sidelined, to be put on the shelf, to ultimately this, to lose in the battle. He does not want you to walk in victory. And he's going to use all these wiles that we're going to consider, and even many more we won't, to trip you up and to win the battle in your life. But don't let him. Don't let him. This wily enemy, he's very good with these things, and he knows what works and what doesn't work, especially when it comes to you. And he has claimed and caused many casualties in the war because he knows what works. Now, this enemy, again, has every intent to shake you up, according to Luke 22:31, and to swallow you down, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. He's going to use these wiles to do just that. But as believers and as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to be casualties. We don't have to be statistics. We don't have to give in and give up. But rather, we can, as the Bible says, stand therefore. We can. You can. We can. We can stand therefore. And as we study and get to know more about these methods of the enemy, it will help us to aid in our standing in the fight just a little bit longer and withstanding the enemy just a little bit further. All right? We need to know about the wiles of the devil. There was one preacher that said this, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "The great trouble with the world today and with much of the church, unfortunately, is that they know so little about the devil and his principalities and powers." Now, we're not to go too deep into that stuff. We understand that, being simple concerning evil, but we still need to be aware and know of his devices. We need to be informed of his forces. We need to know. We need to know about his wiles. Again, this is just the most basic matter of warfare, to consider the strategies of the enemy and failure to estimate the strength and power and ability of an enemy is a very tragic mistake. So let's move forward, all right? Let's look at them together. And we've already seen the first one we saw, one of his wiles we saw this past Sunday is this. We considered his temptation that he throws our way. Every single day we're going to face it. You're going to face it. I'm going to face it. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for an hour or for 100 years, we're all going to face temptation. But we don't have to give in. We don't have to give in. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you have to give in to it. And by the way, the temptation itself is not the sin, okay? It's giving in to it. That's where the sin lies. But we don't have to. We can stand therefore. So be informed about it. Temptation's coming. If it hasn't already, it's coming your way. But another one I like to consider this evening, another craft of the devil, one of his devices, is this. I want to see this, all right? If you're taking notes, the title of the message tonight is this, Craft of Deception. Deception, all right? Deception. And this is one that he uses very, very well. But it's a craft of the enemy. We need to understand this one tonight, the craft of deception. Now, deception is probably one of his most utilized tools in his arsenal. And he's very good at using this weapon. He used it in the very beginning in the garden with Eve in Genesis chapter number 3, which we'll dive into in just a moment, a little bit deeper. But he also is going to use it in the very end of the age, end of the world as well. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast into the earth." Look, he is going to use this tool, this weapon of deception, yes, from the very beginning, but all the way throughout world history to the very end, to his final fighting breath, all right? He is going to use it. He's going to use deception, so we need to understand what it is and what it does, all right? So understand, he will use deception. He is the deceiver. Now, what exactly is deception? Okay, here it is. A definition of deception is this. It is the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is actually false or invalid. So deception is trying to cause someone to be misled on purpose. It is simply this. The simple definition of deception is this. To cause you to believe a lie on purpose. That is deception. They know exactly what the lie is. They know exactly what the truth is. But they want you to believe the lie. That is a deceiver. And by the way, that is exactly who the devil is. He is a deceiver. He is and uses deception. All right? Let me show you something. Need a volunteer. Not here about once. All right. Okay, look. So I got a question. Okay? I have two pieces of cardboard. That's all it is, just cardboard. One is colored purple, and one is colored black. And no, Josie did not color these. I did, okay? So don't make fun. But I got to ask you a question. Which one is bigger, all right? The black one? Black one is? Which one's bigger now? That's not what I asked. I said, which one's bigger? The purple one? Right. So, the purple one looks bigger, then you do this. The black one looks bigger, then we do this. The purple one looks bigger, then you, when you... It's called deception, because actually, they are exactly the same size. So, that's what deception is. All right? Just make you believe something that's not true. And that's exactly what Satan does. All right? So, he's the master at deception. And I believe there are some 30 times in the New Testament that either Jesus or the apostles make about a reference to the deception of Satan. Now, there's one particular I want to look at real quick, okay? But it's in John chapter 8 and verse 44. And if you want to turn there, you can. But John 8:44, it's here where it records for us a reply of the Lord Jesus to a group of Jews who were resisting the truth. They were resisting the message that Jesus was preaching and teaching. And many times when you see Jesus with the Jews, a lot of times they do that. Why? Because they were so deceived in their own pride, deceived in their own religion, after their own traditions. They just would not receive or listen to the truth. They were deceived. And so Jesus looked at these guys one day and in this message, and he said these words in John 8, verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Look, they were so deceived. He even looked at him and said, "You're so deceived. You're following your father, the devil, who is a liar. He is the deceiver. You can't even see the truth, though it's standing right in front of you and it's speaking to you. You can't even see and hear the truth." They were deceived by the deceiver, Satan himself. And this weapon of deception, like I said, has been used from the very beginning. And so I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Genesis chapter 3, all right? Genesis chapter 3, I want you to see this. Again, this weapon of deception he has been using from day, well, we'll call it day one, at least in Genesis, okay? Genesis chapter number 3, that's where we meet up with that subtle snake, the serpent himself. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, all right? Verse number 1, the Bible says this. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," again, there he is attacking the truth, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Oh, there he goes, attacking the truth again, denying it. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, even your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and as pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Did you see the deception right here? The attack of deception from the deceiver himself. He is attacking it, and he's attacking them, and he's using deception. But we see here, he's not only attacking Eve, but he's also attacking God's Word. He even looked at her and said, Hath God said? He was basically saying, the devil was saying, did God really say that? Is that really what he meant? Is that really the interpretation of what God was saying here? Did he really say, don't eat of it? Is that what he kind of meant? Hath God said, come on, Eve. Did he really say that? You see, he's using deception here by attacking God's command to her. She knew it. She knew it. So did Adam. She knew what God said, but he's saying, did it really? You see, he's using deception here. And then Satan not only attacked God's command, but he then attacked what God said about the consequence of this command. In verse number 4, he said this, the devil looking at her and said, ye shall not surely die. He was saying, come on, Eve, do you really think you'll actually die if you eat it? I mean, it's just a little fruit. What's the big deal? Ye shall not surely die. I mean, what's death anyway? They haven't experienced it yet, okay? And what's death anyway? You're not going to die. Come on, Eve. There's no consequence here. There's no consequence to this action. Those rules don't apply to you. You can escape this so-called consequence of death. Ye shall not surely die. He just came out and completely denied the truth. That's what a deceiver does. He gets you to doubt the truth, then he'll get you to deny the truth. Look, his attack of deception, that's exactly what he was doing with Eve. And if he can get you to doubt God's Word, you're well nigh to losing the battle with the deceiver. So he attacked God's Word. Also, he did this. He attacked God's character. Verse number 5, with deception, he attacked character. He said this, "For God doth know." God knows when you eat it, you will be as gods. He was saying basically to Eve, look, God is trying to keep you from what you deserve. God is holding you back what you could be, you know, a god. God doesn't really want you to have this because, well, he doesn't really love you. And if he did, he let you have it. He let you have whatever you wanted if he truly loved you. Go ahead. Go ahead and eat it. God doesn't love you anyway. For God doth know you'll be as gods. Now, this attack was getting Eve to doubt not only God's Word, but here, doubt God's goodness. And listen, if the deceiver can get you to doubt God's goodness in your life, he is well nigh to winning the battle in your life. Don't let him win. Don't let him win. Now look, we're not in a garden any longer. But this tactic here that we've seen that he used against Adam and Eve, this is a tactic of deception, it hasn't changed much. He still uses it. The other day, today, the devil's arguments of deception would sound more like this. Why do you want to follow the Bible anyway? I mean, why would you want to be a true biblical Christian? I mean, after all, isn't all the Christians a bunch of hypocrites? Ain't they just a bunch of hypocrites who just follow a bunch of rules and a bunch of do's and don'ts anyway and all those commands in Scripture? Well, they're just going to hold you back from truly having fun. You'll never have fun as a Christian. You believers, you don't know how to have fun. And by the way, I want you to know I've heard those things. I've literally heard those exact words out of people's mouths. And that's furthest from the truth. I think I'm a lot of fun. Yeah, you know, whatever. But it's farthest thing from the truth. You see, they're believing a lie. They're being deceived. It's absolutely, absolutely wrong. Deception. It's all wrong. It's a lie. And by the way, just as a side note, when you come to commands in Scripture, when God says, thou shalt not, or stay away from this, or don't do that, don't believe the lie that people say, as some people think, that God is trying to withhold a good thing from you. Some people believe that. That's not true at all. No, dear Christian, when you see a thou shalt not, or flee from this, or don't do that, a command from Scripture, don't think of it as that way, as God's trying to keep me from something, but think of it this way, okay? God, as your loving Heavenly Father, simply is saying to you, child, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Who has kids? All right. When you see little Johnny running down, let's say, the church aisle with a knife, he is sprinting. Are you going to say, stop, don't do that? Or are you going to encourage him to continue on? You know, I guess it may depend what little Johnny did that day, which one's the answer, I don't know. But you normally would say, hey, stop, don't do that. Don't run with a knife, especially face that way as you're running like this. Or don't run with scissors, or don't, you know, you get the point, right? Don't do that. Why? Because you hate them? Because you're trying to keep them back from something awesome? Like they mind, they think it's awesome. No, because you love them. You don't want to give them, you don't want to see them get hurt. The same is with the Lord and when Scripture and commands, look, just stay away from it, because why? He doesn't want you to get hurt. Don't hurt yourself. So when the Lord says, thou shalt not. When the Lord says to don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, when the Lord says, don't fulfill the lust of the eyes, don't fulfill the pride of life, forsake this, flee from that. The Lord is saying and giving all these commands because He loves us, not because He hates us. But the devil, he attacks with deceptions and with lies and half-truths and tries to get us to doubt God, doubt His Word, doubt His goodness and care in our lives. He's the deceiver. Look, again, for this purpose, to destroy you, even as the Bible says in 1 Timothy about going back to Adam and Eve with deception, here's what happened. 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You see, Adam went in with eyes wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing. Eve was deceived. But by Adam and Eve giving in to the deception of the enemy, it caused a great deal of pain. You see, that pleasure that they were promised was short-lived. The Bible says, left them naked. It left them with guilt and shame. It separated them from God. Even God came out in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? They were separated from God. It caused them to fear. It caused all of humanity to be affected, by the way, Romans 5:12. You see that for yourself. And it did cause death. It did cause death. Yes, that old deceiver, he said he wouldn't die, but it did cause death, just as God said it would. And listen, that deceiver, he never shows you what the end of that bite looks like. Never shows you the end. No, he'll try to show you the thrill, never show you the kill. But that's what happens. He's a deceiver. He tries to get you to believe a lie. Now, not only has he been using this in the beginning of the Old Testament, but we jump to the New Testament, in the beginning of the New Testament, and see how he uses it even there. He used it in the wilderness in the beginning of the New Testament. If you go to Matthew chapter 4, go to Matthew chapter 4, okay? Matthew chapter 4, we'll read through verse number 11 in just a moment. But if you remember, it is here that Jesus was baptized in Jordan, and after he declared his public ministry, it is then that Jesus was led of the Spirit to be into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. Okay, so Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, here's the tempter, here's the deceiver, here's the devil. The devil said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, just real quick, okay, let me throw this out here to you. All right. When he's saying if here, he's not saying, he's not questioning if he's the Son of God. The devil knows who Jesus is, all right? He knows. Just throwing that out there to you. But it goes on to say this. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The devil here saying, I know you're the Son of God. I know that you who you are, and I also know that you're hungry. And because you're the Son of God, why don't you command these little stones right here to be made bread and feed yourself and eat? You don't have to be hungry anymore. And then it goes on to say this. The Bible says, but he, as Jesus answered and said, it is written. It is written. See how he defended against the devil? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Satan's saying that now, not just Jesus. Satan, listen, Satan knows Scripture as well. And I want you to know he knows it better than any of us, okay? But he knows it. But he don't take Scripture to, of course, practice it and believe it. No, he takes it to twist it and in order to fulfill his deceiving actions. He's a deceiver. All right. Goes on to say this. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. By the way, this is what truly the devil wants. He wants worship. He wants worship. But listen, worship is only what belongs to God Almighty. True worship belongs to God and Him alone. Even Jesus said that when He said, thus saith, then He said, Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. But I want you to understand something. As you look at Matthew chapter 4, it was here that he was trying to deceive the very Son of God Himself using deception. And if he'll use this great weapon against the Lord, don't you think he'll use it against us too? Absolutely, yes. But, like the Lord Jesus, how do we defend against that? How do you defend against lies, being misled by half-truths or whatever it may be? How do you defend against deception? Look, truth is the only thing that will defend against deception. Truth is the only thing that will set someone free from the trickery of deception. Again, the Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we quoted a verse, or read a verse from that chapter just a little bit ago, when it talks about when Jesus was speaking to the unbelieving Jews and said, you're of your father, the devil, who is a liar. But in the context of that, as those Jews are being deceived, what did Jesus say to the believing Jews? He said, truth will set you free. You want to know how you can be free from deception? Knowing truth. Truth is what will set you free. Truth. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. It says this, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look, the devil doesn't want people to know truth. He doesn't want them to hear truth. He tries to deceitfully hide the truth from people in order to keep them lost, in order to keep them in darkness, because he knows the light of truth, the light of the gospel, will set them free. Therefore, it's truth that that must be used to combat and defend against deception. We need truth. Truth defends against it. We must get it out. We must give out the truth. We must teach it. We must preach it. We must tell it to our children. We must tell it to our grandchildren. Hey, there was a question that came up. And it said, you know, in the Bible, in Jude verse number 3, where it says to contend for the faith, how do you do that? I mean, we're talking about spiritual warfare. Preacher, how do you contend for the faith? Well, that's a good question. I started thinking about it a little bit in context and in its context and how we can truly defend it. Because the Bible says it was once delivered. Contend for the faith that was once delivered. How can we contend for that? Here's how I believe one way we can do so. It is teaching the truth, preaching the truth, giving it to the next generation. Giving it to your kids, giving it to your grandkids, your great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids, whatever it may be. But giving it to them, tell it to them, teach it to them, read it to them. That's one way we can contend for it, because as more people know the truth, deception can't get a toehold. Look, we have to give out the truth, but what is it? That's another good question that people today have. They'll say, what is truth? Well, as many people have tried to define that down through the years and define their own truth on their own terms and from their own experiences, they fail miserably. Look, Jesus, who is the Word, John 1, verses 1 and 3, and John 1, verse 14, He is the only one who gets to define truth. He's the only one. Jesus gets to define it. And as you go to John chapter 17, you can find it there as Jesus is spending that precious time with the Father in His high priestly prayer that He defines what truth is. And He says these words in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. What is it? Thy Word is truth. This is the absolute, okay? People say there's no absolutes today. Well, here's one for you. The Word of God is absolutely the truth. It is the truth. The Bible is true. It is the truth. It is our defense against deception. Therefore, we must take it. We must take it upon us. And we're going to dive into this as we jump to looking at our armor, okay? Because you have gird your loins about with truth, the belt of truth, and also taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the truth, okay? We're going to look at these things as we consider our armor and armory when it comes to being a soldier on the battlefield. And I was even thinking today as I was looking at deception and talking about how to defend it with truth, if maybe we shouldn't just go ahead and dive right into the armor. I don't know. Anyway, that's... I'm thinking out loud here. Y'all just listen, okay? But anyway, so I don't know. But we're going to get there. We are going to get to the armor, and we're going to spend time on that. I think it's so highly important that we truly grasp each piece of the armor and armory that's at our disposal that we can use for this battle. We've got to know how to use it, and we've got to know how to put it on. And we've got to be dressed for war, okay? So we're going to dive into that before too long. Just keep that in mind. But how do we defend against deception? Well, it has to be with the truth. I mean, what's the very antonym of deception? It is truth. It's honesty. It's truth. That's the only way to fight it. That's the only way to defend against it, is to know and give out the truth. Listen, deception, it's a great weapon. Oh my, I'm telling you. It is such a good weapon that Satan uses. He tries to deceive people about what it means about God. About sin, deceives people about the Bible, about consequences, deceives people about heaven, deceives people about hell. I mean, he tries to do all this, right? Tries to get people don't believe there's a hell, and there's all kind of ways to heaven. All that's deception. But when you come to the truth, and you find out the truth, that's how you defeat deception. Because there's only one way to heaven, by the way, and His name's Jesus Christ. So we must give out and know the truth. And don't let the deceiver deceive you, because he wants to deceive you in order to turn your heart away from God. I'm reminded of Demas in Scripture. What did Paul say about Demas? Demas was a fellow laborer. He was a preacher boy, if you will, of Paul's. He preached with Paul. He started churches with Paul. No doubt prayed with Paul. Learned under Paul. Heard Paul preaching. Are you kidding? What's the last thing we know about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Somehow he was deceived, thinking that what he was doing wasn't worth it. The preaching wasn't worth it. The going and starting churches wasn't worth it. But somehow serving the world and loving the world was. That's just complete deception. He was deceived into believing that. He was deceived. And his heart was drawn away from the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 16, 17 through 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." That's exactly what the deceiver wants to do. Pull your heart away. Pull your heart away from the Lord. But don't let him deceive you. Don't let him draw your heart from the Lord. No, don't let him win this battle in your life. No, don't let him deceive you. Instead, take the truth. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in prayer. Walk humbly with thy God. Don't let him deceive you. I believe it was the Bereans in Scripture that compared everything that Paul preached to the Word of God? Making sure they weren't being deceived. How? Because they were taking the truth and defending it against it all. They found it to be true, of course. Let's be like that. Take the Word of God, take the truth, and defend yourself, defend your family against any kind of deception that the deceiver may throw your way and our way. All right? So, just another wile of the devil. There's a bunch of them. And we just barely scratch the surface of that. But I'm just trying to throw them out there and let you be aware this is what he tries to do. Okay? So he comes at with temptation. He comes at us with deception. Some others we'll look at. He comes at with doubt. He comes at us with division. All these things. Okay? So many tactics. So many tactics. In order for him to get the upper hand in the battle, to get the spiritual warfare, to get him to win.